I think in this world, we all have a right, a blessing, a responsibility, and that's in service. This morning, my wife and I got up, and before coming up here, we went up to the polls here in Independence, and we voted. That's what this little badge is for, to show I voted. That's our right, and that's our responsibility. Those of you who are not from Independence, of course, you will do that at home at another time when you get the opportunity. Tonight we have another kind of responsibility and service. Our brother apostle, Alvin Mosier, will perform his in bringing the message of the Lord, in exhorting us, teaching, bringing the scriptures, that then we might be able to exercise our responsibility to uphold the gospel and the church and the missionary effort. We all have to work together. We all have to do our part. And certainly, with the help of the ladies and such beautiful music, how can we fail? We should be energized. We should be ready. So as our brother comes forward, I'm going to ask what I always ask for our local here in Independence. I want you to offer a prayer for Apostle Mosier, and then I want to give him your biggest and best smile you've got, Brother Mosier.
Well, thanks, Alvin. Okay, I'm looking to see whether I get a smile or not. Appreciate your thoughts and your prayers always. I was really did my best to get out of preaching this evening. Originally we had scheduled Brother Alan Kaufman in this position, and then he said, well, he kind of wanted to go home on Tuesday, and Joyce got a hold of that information. She printed that I was going to be there, and I talked to Alan again. I talked him out of leaving and staying, and then you finished conference. And so I'm here again. But I do feel fortunate this evening, being as tired as I am, and I can't say that I'm energetic, but I feel fortunate that I have something that is impressed upon me to bring to you. And I hope it's going to be a benefit to you to indeed give you the energy to go on. And kind of interesting, the two songs we sang before the service, you know, the give of the strength of youth, and a lot of you are saying, well, I already did that, you know, and some of you are still in the position where you're giving it, and that's good. And the other one, you know, he leadeth me. And, you know, it takes a pretty close walk with the Lord to be able to say he leadeth me, and to feel that assurance. And I hope that by something I say this night, that I can give you that assurance. I'm going to tell you what I want to talk about tonight right up front so that you can remember it. I want to talk about meekness and kindness or gentleness. Those are things I want to talk about. You know, I have come to the conclusion, and it's been one of the hardest things in my life to realize, and that is the fact hard work doesn't get it all done. I don't know how many times I personally have been engaged in something and I have given it everything I've got, and when I've done, all I have is a bucket of mud. Anybody have that experience? Everybody has that experience. And we try to get things done, and we try to do things for the gospel. We try to do things for the Lord, and when you end up with nothing at times, or seemingly nothing, except experience. So I want to talk to you about how to open up doors doors with God and doors with men. The right doors, because you can't open up every door. But you can open up the right door. The right doors can be opened. You have the power to open the right door. So first I want to go to the Book of Mormon. I want to go to 3 Nephi, chapter 5. I want to read from the Sermon on the Mount. Some of the first words, that are in the Bible, but there's more to the Sermon on the Mount in the Book of Mormon, but I want to read the same words that are in the Bible. I want to read in chapter 5 of 3 Nephi, verses 50 through 52. 50 through 52. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, which come unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again, blessed are all they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." My goal in life is to inherit God's kingdom and to inherit the earth. That's what I want to do. I want what God has for us and for me. I want that. And I don't feel ashamed to admit it. I really do. I want it. Badly, I want what God has offered. I want everything that I've read in the Scriptures. I want those things. I want to be successful in the church as far as getting things to work. That's what I really want. A lot of times the things I do turn out to be mud, you know. It's just, and some of you have helped me clean up some of my mud at times, but that's the way we are. But this tells us in these things called the Beatitudes, that one of the things we must have, we must be poor in spirit. You know, you have to realize, and you have to be humble, you have to realize that the Book of Mormon says, your nothingness, God's greatness, and that He can do anything, and we can't do much of anything without Him. He's so powerful, He's so wonderful. Without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we can do what He wants us to do. But without Him, we're nothing. And we have to be poor in spirit. We have to be humble. We must be humble. And of course it says here, you have to mourn, it says. And that means, you know, you mourn for your sins. You come to God. These three things are first steps coming to the Lord. Being humble, being sorry for your sins, and being meek. You know, that word, being meek or being mild or being kind or, you know, gentle towards God and gentle in the world is a very important thing. Being meek. So important. The interesting thing is that I hope that I can convey this to you. I find it interesting because I'm a person, I love action. I love to get things done and sometimes... when you're that way, sometimes you leave these things behind trying to get it done. It's a natural human nature thing to leave these things behind. And I'm trying my best not to leave them behind anymore. And I thank you when you have helped me, reminded me when I need to be kind and to be gentle to you and towards God. But the thing that I found when I listen, I'm reading in the newspaper, I'm reading the philosophies of organizations in the world that are here to help people, and they all have, there's always something in common. There's one universal fruit of the Spirit that is recognized in the world, and I'm sorry to say that it's really the last one that seems to be universally recognized, and that is kindness, gentleness. It's really the last one. You might say, well, no, people would recognize love, but I don't think that they really do. I think people don't really recognize love any longer. Even though, you know, kindness is part of love, of course, but and connected to it. But the Lord, you know, the Lord says, you know, He wants to love us as His family, as His children, and He corrects and He tutors His children and He corrects them and he wants them to change. The world doesn't recognize that as love any longer. But they still recognize this one thing. Almost everyone seems to. But I can't even say that. You know, you look at the news and some of the things, you look and see, well, maybe there's a lot of people that don't even recognize that any longer. But if it's the last thing that the people who have hardened their hearts in our nation, if that's the last thing they recognize, then let's use it. If that's our last effort to reach these people, let's use it. Let's give it our best shot and use it. And maybe we can get our foot in the door and try some love, tutelage, correction. Well, so I want you to think about that. I want to go now. I got my notes here, but I'm going to jump ahead of my notes. I want to read something. And this is something, you know, we've all read and we've all commented on it. And when I read it, you're gonna be thinking comments in your mind already. I'm going to go to the fourth chapter of the book of Ether. I want to go to verse 22. It says this, found on page 737. And thus the Lord did pour out his blessings upon this land, which was choice above all other lands. And he commanded that whoso should possess the land should possess it unto the Lord, or they should be destroyed when they are ripened in iniquity. For upon such, saith the Lord, I will pour out the fullness of my wrath. And of course the question, you know, that a lot of us have had, you know, how much is ripe? Where is that point? And I've had some, I thought about that this last year a great deal. And just thought about the word itself. You know, when you think about the word, you know, what things get ripe? Of course, the obvious thing, of course, is like fruit. Fruit gets ripe. What is the condition of a piece of fruit when it's ripe? Well, of course, it could be sweet, beautifully red, beautifully orange, or whatever color, you know. But the condition of a piece of fruit or a vegetable or something when it's ripe is past the point of ever absorbing anything again. It's past the point of change. And though there, you know, we can look at as the abundance and the tremendous amount of iniquity that there is in the world, it really doesn't mean it's ripe. Even though there are many who are. When people are at the point where they cannot change, and they will not change, then they are ripe. So I want to caution you. Every time that you use a statement when you think the Lord wants you to change something, don't confess with your mouth before the Lord, I can't. You remember the statement that Pharaoh made, you know, he made a statement to Moses when Moses came and warned him once again, and Pharaoh said, you know, I'm going to do this to you, you know, and Moses told him, you know, out of your own mouth has come what's going to happen to you. Now think about this. I can't. Or maybe because of the press of the world, the anxieties of the world, the frustrations of all of your bucket of mud or whatever it is that you're trying to fix, you're ready to give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be past the point of receiving something else from the Lord. And I have been tempted, and I'll bet you have too. How many times in our lives we come to this point, you know, well, what's the use? I gave it everything I had. What's the use? Don't give up. Don't give up. You can't. You cannot give up. If you do, you know, you may be telling the Lord, you know, I'm right. That's it for me. That's as far as I can go. Don't do that. I want to go now to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And I confess to you, this is my favorite scripture of all the Scripture. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." You know, in connection with my subject this evening about meekness, as I thought about this, the release of a burden is directly connected to meekness. It is directly connected. It's connected to our being yoked with this meek individual who follows the will of his Father. Being mild with him, not resisting the Word of God, but being yoked with him in meekness. And when you step out of that, you get tired. As soon as you step out of that yoke of meekness and lowliness, you get tired. And I, sad to say, sometimes I get tired. And so, I'm always trying to repent. To step back in this yoke of meekness. The yoke of meekness with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is rest. There's rest there. And he has an easy burden. Let's go back to the Book of Mormon. I want to read in the third chapter, or the third book of Nephi again, the words of Christ as he spoke out of the darkness and out of the gloom. Of a world that had just suffered a tremendous violent upheaval. And I want to read verses 49 to 51 in the fourth chapter of 3rd Nephi. It says this, "And you shall not offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, and I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and you shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me, at the time of their conversion, were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. And therefore, whosoever repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive. For of such is the kingdom of God." Meekness, humility, having a broken heart and a contrite spirit are absolute essentials in our battle against weariness in this world. Absolutely essential to have these things, to rest. You know, and this tells us if we have this broken heart and a contrite spirit, right, certain doors are going to open up. They just open up. They're yours. Meekness towards God and meekness to coming unto to our Lord Jesus Christ and coming to him with this offering. Certain things just open up. The power of the Holy Ghost. An assurance of salvation, I'm sure. Peace of mind. They just open right up. So the right doors will open up. The right doors. You know, I can struggle against all kinds of doors and trying to get them open, and I just can't get it open. Maybe it's the wrong door. Maybe the Lord doesn't want us to, or maybe we're not yoked in the yoke of meekness, and that's why the door doesn't open. Well, I want to, thing of meekness, we're going to be going out into the world and trying to convert people. I'm talking to the people of the United States and elsewhere, because, you know, we go into the rest of the world, and I have to say that a lot of people recognize a lot of the other fruits of the Spirit. They recognize correction as a loving thing. It's an amazing phenomena. You know, I'll never forget Frank's great surprise when he saw that once, you know, there in the Philippines for the first time. He just couldn't believe it. But that's the way it is. A humble, meek people, they just take it. Tell us what we have to do. And they do it. Well, going to read in the book of Galatians. Trying to get doors open, trying to get things changed, trying to help your neighbor, trying to help somebody in your family. Chapter 6, verse 1 of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, our work is to try and restore people to God, to restore them to the truth. And in America, it's a work of restoration. I don't think that's for me, so you can probably... I think we'll forgive Velma for that this evening. Remember when Betty got her first phone call in church like that and didn't have a clue? She'd never had one before. Couldn't believe it was her phone ringing. Picked it up, had no idea what button to push. Well, these things happen. So the one thing that I think that the world still recognizes is kindness, and unfortunately, that's the only thing we recognize, and we shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it is, and so they have to use it, because we're at varying degrees of maturity in the gospel, and sometimes that's the only thing people really see. That's the only thing they recognize as love. They don't recognize anything else. So we have to use it. Well, I have something else that I want to read one more. You know, I just got to tell you this. You know, I read this book, and it just gave me this wonderful insight into American history and into the evangelical churches. I read it down there in Honduras. I read this thing, I thought, this is really fascinating. It's fascinating. You know, it was written by this guy who's an evangelical. And an evangelical thinker, you know, a guy, a great mind, you know, and he wrote this statement. He made this statement, and really, I just caught on to it. And he said this. He says, you know, in the evangelical churches, there hasn't been a great mind since 1830. Whoa. Or 1820, 1830, you know, in that era, you know, time. Really? Interesting. Fascinating. I'm going to come back to that. You know, that he explained a lot of things about the evangelical church and a lot of things going on and a part of our history and that we need to be careful about. Well, at any rate... about being tired. You know, we cannot be tired. You have to continue on and continue. Don't say I can't. Don't say it. Don't say I can't. It's hard, but don't say I can't. I want to go to one verse in the book of Alma, chapter 16, verse 230. It says this, chapter 16, Alma, verse 230. And after this day of life, which is given unto us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time, While in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can be no labor performed. Brothers and sisters, you cannot stop improving your time in this life. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. You've got to continue on. And don't say, I can't. Don't enter in that group of ripe people. And when someone says, you know, your loved one or the someone on the news, and when they say, well, you know, they can't help it, that's the way they were born. They're telling me they're ripe. They can't change. By their own mouth, they're confessing publicly to God and to everyone, I can't change. There's nothing I can do. Ripe. To me, that's the ripeness. It isn't that they just sin, but they have confessed, I can't change. That's it. That's the way I am. Don't be that way. Well, I'm going to go back to this evangelical thing. This was a book about American history and the history of the how the evangelical churches got things done. How they had such a great power in America. I'm not going to tell you it's bad. I'm not going to tell you it's good. I just want to present something. He is the one who wrote this and told me these things. So I can, I'm not going to say it's. But when I saw it, I thought, you know, it makes some sense. There's some truth here. He made the statement that there was something that came on the scene when America was born and prior to its birth called evangelical activism. And I'm not telling you it's all bad. Came on and it changed the world. Changed the world. Because of the preachers of the day prior to the American Revolution, they were strengthening their people, encouraging them towards freedom. It wasn't just the thinkers of the day, but the evangelical churches were the ones who gave it its soul and its power to do it. To be free. And as a result, we had the Revolutionary War. Well, there wasn't much that took place, according to him, and I'm sure if we did a real big study, you could come up with a lot of things, but not too long after that, you know, because of the Reformation and the expulsion of the church state, the evangelical activism again kind of spurred. Now, this is mine. I will admit, this one is mine. Gave a place for, was instrumental in giving a place for the restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It did. Can't deny it. Set the stage. Well, after that, though, after that time, when their thinkers ceased, according to this man, they found they weren't having the effect, according to him, that they needed, that they wanted in the church. And the next big movement, it's historical, is the abolitionist movement. Came from the evangelical church. And of course, it's a matter of debate among a lot of people, you know. It's not a debate in my mind, but I think it was directly responsible. For the shedding of a lot of blood. Now, and it's not that it's all bad, is it? See, it's not that it's all bad. But there's something, if we're not careful and we get involved in the same causes of these people, that you could get yourself just drawn right into something. And I don't know where it's going. If we go on here, the next one is the temperance movement. My grandmother was a member of the temperance movement, and she was a good Methodist woman. And she was a good woman. Not my grandmother Willard, that a lot of you know, but my grandmother Moser. And she was a good Methodist woman. She was involved in it. They passed laws after a lot of time, and there was violence involved with that. Prohibition came as a result of that. Well, the next thing is really, really big, you know, that we all know, that everyone who is at least my age and older all knows, is the civil rights movement. And we may think, well, it really wasn't evangelical, but it really was. This guy, he points out how where its roots really started off, right in the evangelical church, and our world changed It did. It changed. And not that it's all bad. There are mighty, powerful things done by these people. Of course, now there are things like the right to life. I don't know where that's going. And, you know, I can look at that and, you know, I agree, you know. And I'm sure a lot of you do too. But where's it going? Where are we going? And with a lot of these things that are going on in our news right now, where is it going? I don't know. I'm just asking you to be cautious. Be awake. Be observant. Another one that you should know, and that wasn't in his book, but I read it in one of your local newspapers, and it's from Evangelical Activism, and they got a great big old one-page article against the Book of Mormon. Where's that going? I don't know where that's going either, but a lot of you have probably seen it. Activism. Activism. Don't confuse activism with doing God's perfect will. So, I want to go and read a scripture now that and I guess that my point is this, you know, how many times during all of these things did people leave the yoke of meekness to accomplish their goals? You know, where the end justifies the means. How many times did they leave it? Could be a very serious thing in the end. And I want to read a scripture. As I was thinking about this, this scripture just came into my mind. And I never thought of it that way before. Let me look at this. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21-23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Activism is the new righteousness of America. It is the righteousness of America. Be nice, be kind, and be active. That's the new righteousness. And it's in so many places, written by so many groups, so many churches. That's it. Be active. Get involved. Feed the hungry. You know, it's never really anything bad, is it? That what they want. But where would it take you? And have we not done all these things? And these other things we read, you know, they did. They were miraculous. We can look at things in the Revolutionary War. They were miraculous. Things that, you know, because God planned it. And all these things, they brought some good. But where are we going in the future? Where is our nation going? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I would say, you know, really, in this sense, you know, that if you, to know someone, to really know somebody, is to have an intimate knowledge of them. And for to be in the yoke of meekness with Jesus Christ is when He has an intimate knowledge of you, intimate knowledge of, communicates with you. He knows you and your name, and you know Him. And if you step out of that meekness, I don't know you. Who are you? We must be careful to stay in the yoke of meekness to be effective in this life and in this world. In meekness. But it doesn't mean, you know, we're a lot of things, and it doesn't mean we're not supposed to be strong. It doesn't mean that we don't have to stand our ground, and as our sister Velma said, to stick by our guns, you know, as she said that in her testimony here on Sunday, I couldn't help it. You know how that's the way we think, you know, and but it's true. There are times that's exactly what you've got to do. Stick by your guns, but in meekness. In meekness. Well, I am going to read about three scriptures, and then I'm going to close. First one I want to read is found in the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And you know, that's where everyone recognizes this. That's still by everyone they recognize when you do something good for them. And you're nice to them. And if that's what it takes to get in to the door, to reach somebody's heart, then let's do it. Then let's do it. With wisdom, of course. With wisdom. But let's be kind. In Moroni, chapter 9 of the book of Moroni, one which I hope, you know, I hope we never find ourselves in this kind of a condition, but you know, I just feel so impressed that just at the moment when I feel like, you know, boy, we made some real victories, other things just hit you just as hard or harder than the things you were trying to fix. It's just something that's going to keep coming at us and coming at us and coming at us because our adversary wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy this work. He wants to destroy your families. And we can't give up. I want to read verse 3 through 6. And now, my beloved son, behold, my son, I fear lest the Lamanites shall destroy this people, for they do not repent. And Satan stirreth them up continually to anger one with another. I see those kind of things coming in our own land and in the world everywhere, just continually. I don't know if you've heard this expression, you know, how after the last major election, I heard the commentators are saying now that we have become more polarized than we have been in 100 years or something. What is coming? I don't know what's coming, but we must be careful and not get sucked into these things that would destroy people. Don't get involved and step out of that yoke of meekness. Behold, I am laboring with them continually. When I speak the word of God with sharpness, they tremble in anger against me. When I use no sharpness, they harden their hearts against it. Therefore I fear, lest the Spirit of the Lord has ceased striving with them. For so exceedingly do they anger that it seemeth me that they have no fear of death, and they have lost their love one towards another, and they thirst after blood and revenge continually. And now, my beloved son, notwithstanding their hardness, let us labor diligently, for if we should cease to labor, we should be brought under condemnation. For we have a labor to perform whilst in this tabernacle of clay, that we may conquer the enemy of all righteousness and rest our souls in the kingdom of God. But I would affirm to you that it will be impossible to do unless we're in that yoke of meekness, resting in our Lord day and night, resting in Him, finding the strength to go on. Without that, it cannot be done. I want to read another one. These are not scriptures, of course, like others point out. They're nothing new. We just need to remind ourselves and continue reminding ourselves. I want to go to the book of Romans and chapter 12. Such an important chapter in the book of Romans and in the Bible. And one of our council members even reminded us of this, you know. When people are trying to destroy us. Well, let's read it. I want to read in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 9 to 21. Let love be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Yes, we have to do that. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You know, if it's your responsibility, if it's your words that this thing depends on, it's your responsibility. You're the one that will be judged for it. That's really what it's saying. If it's your responsibility, if you've got the power to take control of a situation to keep it peaceful, you're responsible to do so. Doesn't matter what everybody else does. It's your responsibility. Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. And I've even heard people say, that's a terrible thing. No, it's not. We want people to feel guilty enough that they're conscious, they're still alive. Yes, we do. We want them to feel guilty and to think, you know, and to mourn for their sins. Yes, we do. Do good. And it does help. It's a way of overcoming. It is a way. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it would be very easy for me to be an activist. It would be very easy for me to pick up a cause of some kind. I could do it so easily. I could get involved with something. Something that would involve being prepared for some violent end. It would be so easy. It would fit right into my psyche, you know, protecting my family from some conspiracy someplace. But our charge to lift up a higher, a brighter, more perfect light is to try and overcome evil with good. And you know what? We're not going to be successful all the time. We just aren't. But the right doors, if you're meek with people, someone who's attuned with the Spirit, or someone who still is not right, is not ripened in iniquity, that person is going to respond. That's the one that's going to respond. The others, the door will stay closed. And it's their choice. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope I haven't said things to discourage you. That's not what I want to do. I think we're facing hard times. Very difficult things. But the Lord has prescribed a way, a better way of doing things. And but it's to rest in Him. Be yoked with Him in a yoke of meekness and lowliness of mind. And to learn of Him, to follow His example, and find rest. A lot of the doors that, you know, among us, why, all those doors ought to just open. Every one of them. All. Why, you're the God's people. And you're going to respond to that. God bless you forevermore.
Thank you, Brother Mosier. We have announcements for tomorrow morning. His prayer service at 10. All right. We're going to close this evening. How appropriate. Jesus, I my cross have taken. 160. Thank you. Let us pray. Our righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this place, this day, for your scriptures, for your message from thy servant. We thank you, O Lord, for being there, for hearing our prayers, for your strength and encouragement. We ask, O Lord, that you will go with us as we go about our work and our play in the days ahead, that you will lead and direct us, that your will be done. We also ask that you go with us as we leave this place this night to go to our homes, our places of abode. Keep us safe as we go out and about on the streets and the roads, that we can come again another day to praise you and give you glory. We would remember those that are less fortunate, those that are hurting, those that are in need, and we place them in thy hands, O Lord, where you can work your miracles to raise them up. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.